Yeah.
Happy way, God.
Glory to your name. Glory to your praise.
Glory to
your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, we welcome you into this room.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God, that you are a part of us, that you are in us, around us, through us. You work. You are our voice. Hallelujah. These are your hands, that we will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Lord, that we pray for the healing of this nation.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anointing for this year.
Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
It's just good to be here. Man. You know, I love you, Lord. I love that worship. And when you're in God's presence, there's nothing you can't. You know that there's nothing you can't do. And one of the wisest things I ever did was ask the Lord to teach me how to live in His presence.
Yeah.
I wanted to fit in everywhere when I was at work, wherever I'm at. And sometimes, you know, there are great things as possible. We just have to tap into it. Because the Lord said He can do more than we can ask or think.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I used to add the word imagine, but actually the imagination goes beyond. If you can imagine it, then you can ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I sense that I can live this way in His presence. So many people have missed out on what God can be doing in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I seek Him on a problem, when He give me the answer to the problem, I say, I didn't see this before. It was so easy to receive.
Amen.
And I said, what else am I missing out on?
Amen.
And as we go forward in Him, there's nothing we can't do.
Amen.
I like this section. We're on page 42. And, you know, people enter knowledge different ways. And for me, it was Kenneth Hagin's book. When it comes to authority, we're going to see people use their authority. But I was told that we have authority by a guy I used to work with. He was a Catholic, and then he got born again, was filled with the Holy Spirit. He went to the Church of the Nazarene, Italian guy. And when I first got saved, he said, "Not that you're saved, you have authority over Satan." And he explained some key things. When I first got saved, he said, "You don't have to sin anymore. Your sin nature has been broken." He said, "Christians can sin if they want to, but you don't have to. Sin don't control you anymore." That was good to hear at that point. And because you hear so much about this, people trying to soothe people into life. But that's the Bible. You can build your life on the truth. Then he said, and you have authority over Satan. And I studied the scriptures, and yeah, we got authority over Satan. But I didn't, in my mind, only I knew we had authority, but it was more limited until I listened to the tapes of Kenneth Hagin. Then I found out, we don't have limits. And that's what they're going to find out, too. Okay, he said, the power of proclaiming the Lord's death. See, there are aspects to communing with the Lord. When you commune with somebody, you get to know them. And you also get to know yourself. If you get to know God, He's going to give you His knowledge, and it's going to enhance what's already there in you.
In other words, communications two ways.
Yes. All healthy relationships, they master communion. All healthy relationships, that's what they master. To have a healthy relationship, they commune. And we can't have a healthy relationship with God unless we commune with Him. Get to know Him. What are you saying, Lord? And then when in the conversation, you're going to say, how in the world can that be? And He's going to explain.
He's a mirror that reflects everything we are.
Mm-hmm.
And Him. You'll see everything that we are because it's that word that tells us what we are.
And when you go in His presence, sometimes you don't even have to say anything. You start understanding things spiritually because your spirit is looking to His spirit. And He can cause you to understand things. What I got from Him in that prayer room came from Him. I sensed that I could live this way.
You know, the first thing that teaches you to do from the world is praise.
Yeah.
You know, because God is a spirit, and they must worship, make them worship in the spirit of truth. So that was like a light bulb just when I came in. That close spiritual connection is what gets you deeper and deeper in His presence, and teach you how to really worship. Because He's a spirit, and they're spirit, and you're communicating. Communicating spirit to spirit. Sometimes we have to make the sacrifice to get into that place.
Yeah.
But all of us have touched that place many times. Not, you know, in place. In worship, not in worship. When you touch God so much. And that, but you still have to do the physical part, because that gets you into that spirit to spirit. That just makes it deeper. God's a spirit, and we must worship in the spirit and in truth.
There are different ways and aspects we commune with. And everything's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer does what prayer does.
Mm-hmm.
Studying and receiving the word, there's no replacement for that. Mm-hmm. Studying and receiving His word does what it does. Mm-hmm. Living by faith does what it does. Trusting God does what it does. We need all these aspects. We need every manifestation of the Holy Spirit, all seven,
mm-hmm.
in order to live the most healthy life. Again, all relationships have healthy communication, respect. Some things I won't do because I respect you.
Mm-hmm.
Some things I will do because I love you. You know, and you go. That's how it is with the Lord. And when we commune with Him, we're in constant growth.
That's good.
We change. We find out we can do this. I was watching a Superman movie years ago. And I'm watching what he's doing. I said, I can do that. I can do that too. I can do that. Not naturally, but spiritually.
Yes.
You know, they talk about the ancient aliens.
Well, think about prayer. You can be in Africa.
Yeah, literally.
You can actually do more than Superman can do.
Mary said that was a man that was transported to Africa.
Yeah, you can physically do it, or you can do it.
He saved the kid out of the tent,
yeah.
And he was transported back.
Amen.
You know, Henry Gruen was transported places.
Yep.
I think David Hogan was.
David Hogan, too.
Yeah. And six other guys that was with him.
Yeah.
And they were transported back all over. We can do all things.
And he was sent to Britain, to Rome, to bind up the demons and everything.
Yeah, and did that.
Not demons, but fallen angels, bind them up, and revival happened right after that.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah. See, when you follow God, you can do so much more.
Yeah.
Now, in the year he did that, that was 1988.
Yeah. I was going to say 86, but 88, you're right.
Because that was around the time the Lord gave me that dream about being an apostle.
Mm-hmm.
He said,
took a lot of faith to step out on that, too.
Well, I heard
you taught yourself an apostle, and then, you know, that place you had to get beyond it, didn't it?
I thought I was tripping. I said, Lord, my life already comes here. Why I got to do this? But I had already made the vow about him, and I would obey him. He gave me a dream. He said, I want you to work in the office. I didn't understand it fully until later. When he said 1988, I said, that's around the time this happened.
Hmm.
But I had met another apostle in Mississippi. And a pastor introduced me to him. He said, now this is a real apostle. He was called to be an apostle. I didn't know God was going to call me to be one. But I thank God that he did. I like every assignment he gave. And most of them I didn't understand. It took communion to follow through. It took, because we're like pioneers. We don't know where everything we're entering into. But he's with us. I can say with confidence he's with you. And every time you give me something to do now, I'm all for it. Because your joy increases as you obey him and finish his work.
And you know, ministry, you've got something. I need to start writing it down. You say things that are so profound that you don't even realize it.
That's from the Holy Spirit.
I know, but it's a gift in you and part of your apostleship too. We all say things, but it's just like a little simple phrase. It's just full of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if sometimes you're even aware of it. But God uses you mightily in that way. Mightily. First time I ever heard you, I was like, yeah, it was awesome.
You say things that, you know.
And I know it's not you, but it's the gift in you.
And anybody can do it. This is available.
Yes.
Whatever you're anointed for, you're gonna hit the spot.
Amen.
when I say that he can do this in me, he can do this in anybody. Any Christian can receive from it.
We let ourselves get in the way, don't we? We think it's me saying it. I gotta say it right. I gotta do it right. That didn't sound right, or just, you know, that's not long enough, or that's too long. And it's called pride, isn't it? Because we want to get it right, but in the right way, spiritually, it's good.
It's not really pride, it's more
well,
like...
Well, I'm talking about sometimes
yeah.
it can be. I'm talking
be.
Personal experience.
Yeah.
But I mean, what I know what you're talking about. To be in one of those spots, not pride.
Yeah.
But,
you can limit, you can... You're seeing things and hearing things you didn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
You say, wait a minute, right. Be cautious.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started drawing near to the Lord, I would say, first, before I can start talking to him, I got to go pray and sing some worship songs. I was more ritualistic.
Yeah.
And one day, I was doing all that, and it's like the Lord just said, talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, it's not, all those steps are not necessary. Talk to me.
Before you talked to your daddy, did you?
Yeah.
Thank you, praise my daddy. There's a part to be in that, but...
And I still worship him, and I still praise him, and I still, you know, pray him.
In a very intimate blessing.
Yeah.
But you talk to him exactly like we're talking now.
Yeah, he said, talk to me.
Yeah.
I could sense it. Some things you just sense. And it was okay. You know, it was okay to just talk to the Lord.
Yes.
We can live in his presence. We learn, sometimes there are things that I've gotten concerned about, and the Lord knew I was very concerned about it. In 2017, he said, he woke me up, he said, tell my people my return is imminent and to be ready that they be not left. And this put me on caution. I said, whoa, I hadn't heard language like that in a long time. And people get into things. People, strife. You know, if you ever look at the Ugandan pastor's YouTube video, that really woke me up. He died. You gotta watch him. It's about an hour and a half, but it's worth it. When I saw that, he had died. That's the man that was raised by Reinhard Bonnke.
Up underneath the...
Yeah, he was raised from the dead.
They got that on video, too.
Yeah.
Watching him being raised from the dead, his color coming back and everything.
Everything. Now, he did this. I heard the VHS, but they put it on YouTube what else happened.
Right.
The angel
you heard his testimony, didn't you?
Yeah. The angel took him to heaven and then to hell. But the angel said, if you die now, this is where you'll be.
Yep. Because he had an argument with his wife.
He said, in the ambulance, you asked the Lord to forgive you of all your sins, but you didn't forgive your wife.
Boy. Mm.
I said, how many people do that?
Yep.
So my heart went, you know, when the Lord told me this, I was on alert. But he said something else. He said, he talked to me about the condition of the church and what people are doing. He said he's going to cause people to speak what's in their heart, whatever it is. So you'll see what he said. He said before he returned, he's going to cause people to say whatever is in their heart. But he said something more comforting. He said just before he returned, all the word that he received, he's going to use it to help them so he can rapture them.
Now, let me ask you a question, okay? Okay, now you need to hear me. Why would an argument with his wife send a minister of the gospel to hell?
Yeah.
Now, why? Because he walked around with unforgiveness in his heart for her. He gave, see, you're dealing with God who is a just judge.
Mm-hmm.
A just judge, and we don't even understand the concept of that because we have never seen a just judge, not really. Okay? A just judge has got to render a verdict. And that's why the angel told him this is where you'll be going because of unforgiveness for your wife.
Okay,
It's 9:16. Because I've got to give out the prayer things to people. We've got to take communion. Go directly to communion. Let's do communion because it's 9:16.
9:16.
He's with us to help us.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. Wow.
That comforted me. Well, God has people to love him and they follow him. But he also has a protocol. He's going to stick to it. All right, he said, thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. It is for my healing, my spouse's healing, and my children's healing. Thank you that by your stripes, by the beatings you bore, by the lashes which fell on your back, we are completely healed. I believe and I receive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant.
Yes, Lord.
Cut in your blood. Your blood has brought me forgiveness and washed me from every sin. I thank you that your blood has made me righteous. And as I drink, I celebrate and partake of the inheritance of the righteous, which is preservation, healing, wholeness, and prosperity. Thank you. The blood prevails, and I love it. Lord, I love your word. I love your will. I love your ways. Bless us this day as we go forward in prayer. Lord, use us like a tool in your hand. Help us to break through where we need to break through. And bless every believer in you. Bless every speaker that goes forward today. Bless Pastor as he goes forward. Let the anointing break yokes in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we thank you for all these tremendous, true, and precious promises you've given us. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Did he beat y'all well? Clap your hands. Yeah. Well, I hadn't talked all that yet. I'm still...